Now, I'm sure that most of us living with sight loss have been supported by a sight loss charity at some point. Now, the work that these charities do is invaluable, but it all costs money, and charities depend on fundraising in order to do their work. Now, one man has been raising funds for the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind, and the challenge that he undertook with eight other blind and partially sighted people, well, it's not for the faint-hearted. And the man in question is called Ed Bates, and he joins me now. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Simon.
Now, great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a bit about the challenge, first of all, because it left my legs a little bit jelly-like.
Well, the opportunity came up for eight of us, well, nine including me, to climb the O2 Arena in London. I'd never actually knew that such a challenge existed, actually, before I did it. So you were clipped onto harnesses, and you climbed up about 50 feet high. The Millennium Dome was opened in 2000, so it was all opened, obviously, for the Millennium. And there was lots of things we learned about it, like how tall it was, obviously about the history of it, obviously about what it does now. They have a lot of gigs and exhibitions, but not many people, from what I was aware of before I climbed it, knew of the challenge of climbing up to the top of it. So you climbed up one side of it, which was like this very, very steep hill, this bouncy trampoline hill. If any of you have been on a trampoline before, you feel it bouncing underneath your feet. So you were constantly being clipped onto the rope so that you didn't fall off or fall into anybody. Although I should point out, Simon, when I say fall off, you couldn't actually fall off the edge. There were ropes all of the way around you. And then you climbed up to the top. You stood over and looked over the lookout tower, or those who could see could look out from about 50 metres high, which I think gave some of them a bit of a fright. You stood up there and you have your obligatory photos, and then you walk back down. One interesting fact about it, Simon, which I never knew the answer for, going up was 28 degrees in steepness, and coming down for some reason it was 30 degrees. Sadly, I've no idea why the gradients changed so much.
Oh, that's interesting. Were you nervous?
Well, not really, because, I think the thing with me is because I've got no sight at all, I couldn't see over the edge of it. So, like, the build-up to me, it was just what I'd call a life experience, really, having the chance to do something a bit different. But I do know people who could see, as I say, who were a bit nervous of looking over the top.
And I suppose listening to the city from that height must be quite interesting as well.
It was really good, and I'll tell you one thing that really helped. Everybody said to me, I expect it to be really windy at the top. And when we went there, it was a really still day. It was a really sunny day, and there was no wind at all at the top. So, yeah, I could hear quite a lot of music. I could hear the faint sort of murmur of the traffic. It was just nice. It felt really atmospheric being so high up, really, and still being able to hear all the everyday sounds around you on the ground.
Yeah, I think if I was in your situation, I would be a little bit... Claustrophobic seems a silly word, but... You know, once you're up there, I've done mountain stuff back in the past,
yeah,
and been stuck on an ice field and having that feeling where I can't get off, I can't move. It's quite easy to get scared and spooked, I think.
Well, I guess actually you've got a good point, because everybody had to go up there in a line, and because we were all attached to this metal rope on our own sort of rope harness things, you couldn't escape. If anybody did have a panic attack or wanted to escape quickly, I don't know what they'd do. I'm very glad I didn't think of that actually before I climbed it, because yeah, that could have been something that would have made some people nervous. But yeah, there must be sort of contingencies in place for things like that, because it must happen to all kinds of people.
Yeah, how long did it actually take?
We were doing it for about 2 hours, and like some of us, like as I say, you know, we had to take it pretty steadily going up the group. There was an intense kind of 5-minute documentary about the things you must and must not do when climbing the arena, which I can understand, because people might change and decide they want to, I don't know, throw something off the top of the tower, which would be very dangerous, of course. And then getting the harnesses on took time, because obviously all of us struggled to get into those. They were, if you've done rock climbing before, they are a bit like those, where you have to put your feet into the stirrups and then you pull it up. That's the lower part of your waist belt. Then you have things that go on the top, so they clip onto the lower part of the waist belt. So yeah, it was a lot of getting used to, getting things changed, and then they had to keep checking that your harness was tight enough before you could actually start the climb. But again, obviously, health and safety has to come first in a thing like this.
And you dedicated this to your dad.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, partly it's about, I mean, he died suddenly last year. There was no warning. There was no build-up to this. He went on holiday and collapsed and died very quickly, died instantly. So when life changes basically in an instant, you know, it turns your whole world upside down, obviously. And, like, we'd done quite a few challenges together. We hadn't climbed the O2 or anything like that together, but it did kind of make me think, well, you know, I need to start doing things. I need to make the best of life. And here was the opportunity to do something like that, really. And also, of course, the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind is a fantastic charity in what it does. It does many things for people in and around the Norfolk area. So a chance to raise a bit of money and have a life experience was something I thought I couldn't really miss out on, really.
Have you always had sight issues then?
Yeah, I've been totally blind since birth. I've got this condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis. I think the condition, from what I've been told, it affects people slightly differently. But the strain I have means I don't see anything. I don't even see light and dark. So for me, I guess in a way I'm a bit more fortunate than some other people, because obviously, you know, I haven't had to go through that period of my sight changing. It's always been the same from the very start for me. So although it's tricky, yes, there's challenges out there. You know, you have to make the best of these things, really. I'm not the only one.
And I think probably, you know, from your dad's point of view, I often think this, parents probably worry so much about children that are living with sight loss.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, so I think your dad would probably be really proud of you for doing this.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, you know, hopefully, if he'd been alive, he would have said that, for sure.
So you're also doing another fundraiser later in the year, aren't you?
Yes. Now, this is the one that I would say I'm a bit more nervous about.
Really?
Yes, this is one where it is going to be a lot harder. They're doing a 10K run around the streets of Norwich, and a few places became available in our charity. So me and my colleague, I'm a member of staff of this charity, the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind, so me and my colleague who are doing it as well, and a few other people as well we're teaming up with who are partially sighted. We've all got guides, and we're all going to get round the course. So that's at the start of August. So it became a dual challenge, really, the run and the O2 climb.
And, of course, you can see the money that you're raising. You can see where it's getting used as well, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all the money that's raised for, I mean, it sounds a real cliche saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, it really does go back into the community of Norfolk. What we want in Norfolk is a very large county. It's a very rural county. There's quite a lot of people living on their own, and if you've got sight problems, you know, the transport links aren't fantastic either. It can lead to isolation and sometimes depression. So to keep all our services going to help those in Norfolk remain as independent as possible is really something that is very important to us here in Norfolk.
And you seem to be a fantastic role model for that.
Well, I hope so, Simon. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, basically I'm just doing my job here when I'm working here as this member of staff, but in my own life, you know, I'm just somebody who has a sight problem but is also able to go out and make the best of things. You know, I've got good support all around me, and I know that some people struggle with that. I've got a good family, I've got good friends all around me, so yeah, I'm very fortunate really in that respect.
So do you have a fundraising page?
Yes, I do. It's Virgin Money Giving page, and if you type in Edward Bates 1, you should be able to find me on there.
Well, we wish you the best of luck for your upcoming challenge. Would you come back on later in the year? Let us know how you got on.
Yeah, absolutely. No problems.
Ed Bates, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Simon.